The title of today's sermon is Angels and Evil Spirits. On the news recently, I have been seeing a lot of flooding. And in watching the news, I have seen people and homes being carried away by floods in a number of states. I saw this one large building. I couldn't tell if it was a house or a barn for sure. It was a large structure, and it was floating rapidly down the river. It was carried away by the flood, and it came to a low bridge where the structure going under the bridge was crushed and enveloped by the raging waters, and the debris was carried away downstream. And I thought about how the worldwide Church of God was caught up in the flood of the apostasy and swept away until it was no more. There were some people destroyed in that apostasy. And some people survived the flood to be tested yet again in subsequent floods. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 7 as we begin today, brethren. The Bible speaks often, frequently, of floods. In Matthew 7 and verse 21, we read, these are the words of Jesus Christ. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. So we have to do the will of God if we're going to be in the kingdom of God. Verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, because Jesus Christ is the judge, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in your name have cast out devils, and in your name done many wonderful works. There are plenty of people doing these kind of things. In verse 23, Jesus says, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. There's the distinguishing factor. Verse 24, therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine, and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Now in the scriptures, Jesus uses all kinds of analogies, like rocks and trees and floods and bread and so forth. What is this rock that Jesus Christ is speaking of here? There are a few that understand. Verse 25, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. So verse 25 here is the operative verse. This is what we want. We want to be founded on the rock so that the floods don't carry us away. Do we, brethren, understand the teachings of Jesus Christ and what it is that we should build upon? Verse 26. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does not them shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Very much like what I saw on the Weather Channel when the house was swept under the bridge and crunched and just swept away. It beat upon the house and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Let's turn over to Genesis chapter 6, brethren. The world does not understand about angels and evil spirits, but it is important that we do. God has given us a great deal of information. Because of Satan and the sins that Satan caused to be committed on this earth, sin brought the entire earth to the point of destruction, to the point where every living organism, man, animal, everything, would have ceased to exist. Genesis 6 and verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. That's a great deal of sin, a great deal. It's all-inclusive. It's all-encompassing. And that every imagination of the thoughts of man's heart, of his heart, was only evil continually. Now, I don't know how close we are to that in the world today, but brethren, I submit to you that we're closer than most people realize. Verse 6, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. God was literally, actually sorry that he had created man in the first place. That's how bad it was when God looked down from his throne. Verse 7, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repents me. In other words, I am sorry that I have made them in the first place. That's what God is saying. Had God done that, destroyed every last man, woman, and child, that would have been the end of the plan of God. But verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And brethren, Satan was restrained because Satan would have brought the earth to complete destruction. He was not able to thwart the plan of God. Satan would have completely destroyed mankind, whom he hates, if God had not put restraints upon him and held him back, diminished his power, put chains on him, locked him up, so to speak. Genesis chapter 9, just over a few pages. Satan, before this, before the great flood, once before, had tried to destroy all of the earth. Why did Satan do that? So that man would have no place to become the children of God, ultimately in the very family of God. Satan wanted to destroy the plan of God. We're going to see a little bit more on that in a few moments, because we want to see the big picture of what is going on with angels and evil spirits. Let's stop and think about our lives. For most of us, we have not been carried away of a flood so much as more recently we have been drifting lazily down the river, like on a sunny day in an inner tube. Okay, I know for each of us there have been a few rapids in our lives, but for the most part, we have had it better than most people all down through history. We have had the opportunity to know the truth. We have had the opportunity to let our light shine. We have had on occasion the opportunity to make a difference in the lives of others. We've lived in a rich country. For the most part, we've lived in peace without invasions of foreign armies on our soil. We have prospered. We've been educated. We've been fed well. We've been entertained. We've been greatly blessed, not only in the physical things, but especially in the true Word of God and the Spirit of God. Brethren, should we expect that now, after we have been given so much, that we should not be tested? Should we expect that we should not be tested to see whether or not we are faithful and to see if we have indeed put on godly character? Satan is going to be unleashed once again, and it's going to be in the very near future, putting man to the proof, putting man to the test, and it is closer than we realize. It is an hour of adversity which shall come upon the entire world to test all them, all those that dwell upon the earth. It will be the most horrible picture of destruction this world has ever seen. It is the time of Jacob's trouble. Satan's wrath, his fury, is going to bring this entire earth to the very brink of destruction. If Satan had his will, it would be brought to total destruction. But God says that a few would be spared. The very elect would be saved. Genesis chapter 9 and verse 8. And God spoke unto Noah, and to his sons with him, saying, drop down to verse 11, I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of the flood, neither shall there be any more a flood to destroy the earth. So after God had destroyed the earth once by a flood, God promised he will not allow the earth to be destroyed that way. There will no more be a flood to destroy the earth. Verse 12, and God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make with you, between me and you, and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my rainbow, it should be, in the cloud, and it shall be a token of a covenant between me and the earth. So God says, no more floods like that flood, a watery flood covering all life on the earth. God's not going to do it that way. There's another flood in the Bible that we should look at. This is the time in the immediate future when Satan is going to make war on the brethren of the Church of God, much greater than the day-to-day temptations that we face daily. Right now, Jesus Christ tells us to pray often. Lead us not into temptation, into trials, into tests, but deliver us from the evil one. That's in Matthew 6 and verse 13. We're to pray that every day. But the test that I'm talking about is much, much greater than that one. Peter also says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about, seeking whom he may devour. That's in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. But, brethren, I'd like to go back to Revelation chapter 12. I'm speaking of a time, I'm speaking of a flood when Satan's full strength, his full fury, is going to be released on all the earth. We read in Revelation 12 and verse 13, and there appeared another wonder in the heaven, and behold, a great red dragon. Satan, the devil, is referred to in many different ways in the scriptures. Here, a great red dragon, having seven heads and seven horns and seven crowns upon his head. You know, brethren, Satan would have even destroyed Jesus Christ when he came in the flesh if Satan had had his way. But thankfully, he was under restraint. God saw to it. God's always going to win out. Revelation 12 and verse 4, in effect, this red dragon, his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven, speaking of the fallen angels, the demons that went along with Satan, fully one-third of the angels, and did cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. So we know that Satan, from before man was on the earth, and when man first was on the earth with Adam and Eve, as Adam and Eve, Satan has always wanted to destroy man so as to destroy the plan of God. I drop down to Revelation 12 and verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren, again, another reference to Satan, is cast down, which accuses them before our God day and night. Verse 11, and they overcame him. This is the three ways, brethren, that applies to us today. This is how we today overcome Satan. Number one, by the blood of the Lamb. Number two, by the word of their testimony. And number three, they love not their lives unto the death. Brethren, we have to put it all on the line. As people of God, we lay down our lives as Jesus laid his life down. Verse 12, therefore, rejoice you heavens and you that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. Satan's power is going to be unleashed. We've never seen great wrath. This is going to be a horrible time on the earth. Verse 13, and when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. Now, this is a reference. The woman is the church of God, the brethren, the people of God, not any organization. Satan persecutes the people of God which brought forth the man-child, Jesus Christ. Verse 14, and to the woman, the church of God, the people of the church of God, were given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness in her place where she is nourished. That's well fed for a time and times plural, and half the time from the face of the serpent. For 3.5 years, the church needs to be protected. Verse 15. We're talking about floods right now, brethren. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. Satan is going to send a flood, probably an army to destroy the people of God. But brethren, understand this. Please understand this. There is always a refuge. There is always high ground for the people of God, so that we will not be affected by the flood. We will not be drowned out and carried away. Verse 16, and the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood. It just went down into a deep crevasse, and the flood was swallowed up, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Verse 17, and the dragon was wroth with the woman. Now here, brethren, we see a distinction between those who are in the place of safety and those who are of the Laodicean period, who are just lazily drifting down the river, not even concerned about the flood. And the dragon, that's Satan again, was wroth with the woman, and he went to make war with the remnant of her seed. Now notice this, they also keep the commandments of God. They have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Satan goes to make war with those less zealous Christians. And brethren, this is a terrible time in the history of the church when Satan's wrath is poured out for 2.5 years on the people of God. They will have to wash their robes in the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, keep your marker here in Revelation 12. We'll come back here after a while. But let's just understand that Satan's horrible fury is going to be unleashed on our brethren, on us, brethren, if we're not careful, sooner than most people realize. You know, sometimes it seems that in life we're being carried along in a flood. The times we are in, the culture that we are in, the relationships that we're in, we're just carried along. You know, after all, if we stop and think about who we are and where we are, we don't choose our parents. We don't choose when or where we're to be born. We just find ourselves being carried along. But then we realize that we, the people of God, we do have choices. We are, with God's Spirit, the help of God, masters of our destiny. We're to build godly character. We're to use what God has given us. Hebrews chapter 1. Where did Satan come from in the first place? Did God create Satan the devil? What God did was to create angels. All of them good, perfect, for a myriad of purposes, thousands of purposes and reasons. Some of the angels are protectors. Sometimes the angels are messengers. They carry out God's wishes. God created all the angelic host, all the angelic beings, for the very purpose of being God's helpers and God's assistants in bringing many sons to glory. We'll see a scripture that tells us that in just a moment. And brethren, understand this. Right now, Jesus is seated at the right hand of his Father. At this juncture, Jesus is higher than the angels, than any of the spirit beings. Now, picture the throne of God. There are the 24 elders. There are the angels that cover and so forth. Jesus is higher than any of them. However, when Jesus Christ came to this earth, Jesus was lower than the angels. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 13. Paul is speaking this, and he asks the rhetorical question, and this comes from the Old Testament as well. Verse 13. But to which of the angels said he at any time, this is God the Father speaking to someone, sit on my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool? God the Father speaking to Jesus Christ here. But we also see in these verses what the very purpose of the angelic creation is all about. What is the purpose of the angels? Verse 14. Are they, speaking of the angels, not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? So that's the very purpose of the angelic host, is to minister for the brethren of God, the people of God. However, brethren, because we are physical and angels are spirit beings, we cannot perceive angels. We can't take notice of them. We can't see them. We can't feel them. We can't smell them, hear them. We can't notice them. We are totally unable to discern angels with our five senses. The only way that we even know that angels exist, that we can know about them, is that God has revealed their existence and their purpose in Holy Scripture. Job chapter 38. The world understands so little of the purpose of the angels. Let's understand this. God created the angels before He created any of the vast universe or the earth. God asked Job in Job 38 and verse 4, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if you have understanding." See, Job was not even around. No man was around when God laid the foundation of the earth in the universe. But notice this. The angels already existed when God created the heavens and the earth. Speaking of the vast angelic realm, as stars, as sometimes angels are referred to as stars. Sometimes they are referred to as sons of God. Verse 7, when the morning stars sang together, this is speaking of when the angels were literally singing together, and all the sons of God, that's speaking of the angels. There are no men yet. The mankind, man and woman, has not yet been created. And the sons of God shouted for joy. Yes, angels are sons of God, children of God, in the sense that they are also created beings made by God. And you can put down, we won't turn there, brethren, Revelation 1 and verse 20, where it says, stars are the angels. That's something that we see often in the Scriptures. Angels have reasoning powers. Angels have personalities. They have emotions. They shouted for joy at the creation. Can you imagine? Now we've had the privilege to see some of the beautiful structures in the heavens through the Hubble telescope and other big telescopes. They're brilliantly colored. They're vast. They're pretty. The angels would have been aware of all of that. They shouted for joy when they saw what God was created. They shouted out in pleasure and excitement when the earth was created. Beautiful, you know, blue oceans, so much potential, such a jewel in the vastness of space. They had emotions, they had feelings, and they still do. Angels were put into spirit bodies. God put the angels into, lack of a better word, bodies, spirit bodies. They are individual spirit beings. Angels are spirits. They do not breathe air. They don't die at some point along the line. On the other hand, God has put us, mortal humans, into flesh and blood, physical bodies, so that we might die. Why is that, brethren? Because our potential so vastly, so greatly exceeds that of the angels. God has made us subject to mortality. Unless we, human beings, unless we put on righteous, godly character, we will cease to exist. God is not going to allow us to become more powerful than the angels, which is our destiny, as evil beings. God's not going to have evil beings with all this power around, you know, the kingdom of God and heaven and the universe for all eternity as evil beings. God's not going to allow that. We need to fix our character while we are in the flesh. Only in the loving, merciful, righteous family of God will we possess eternal life, not as evil beings. Man will not possess eternal life as an evil being. Revelation chapter 5. There are more angels than we can imagine. In Revelation 5 and verse 11, we read, "And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne." This is the throne of God. "And the beast and the elders." The word beast is often mistranslated. Beings works a little better for me. "And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000. And thousands of thousands." That's not a very accurate number. But, brethren, it's a huge number. I think if we would just look up at the heavens on a starry night, a dark starry night, we would get some kind of idea. The angels are compared to the stars. Angels had the opportunity to develop the permanent, holy, righteous character of God and to continue in the endless creation process that God has going on. Creation is not complete by a long shot, brethren. And two-thirds of the angels did just that. They put on permanent, holy, righteous character, the character of God. There are billions and billions of stars in the sky, if that's any indication of how many angels there are. Jude, verse 6. We see here that one-third of the angels rebelled, as we saw in Revelation 12 and verse 4 a few moments ago. Jude, verse 6. "And the angels, which kept not their first estate," God had given the angels a charge. And it was a charge over the earth. It was a charge to develop the earth, to make it beautiful, to make the environment perfect for man, to make it sustainable for life, to make it pleasurable for man and animal alike, and profitable for fruit trees and every living thing. "But the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitat," their own habitation, that's where they were supposed to be, "he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness under the judgment of the great day." So we see here very clearly in verse 6 this restraint that is put on Satan and the demons. The evil spirit beings are restrained so as not to be able to bring total destruction to God's plan for mankind. Before the fall of the angels, for billions of years, we don't know how long, but if we just look at the fossil record, we can tell it was billions of years. The angels worked developing the earth, which would be the habitat for mankind. And notice this, brethren. When God revealed that the purpose of flesh and blood man was to become an integral part of the eternal, spiritual family of God, a number of things happened in the angelic realm. For some, there was joy, but for others, wickedness and iniquity sprang up in some of the angels. There was a certain point when it became clear that God's overall purpose for man was to become God, and it wasn't lost on the angelic realm. Most of the angels rejoiced at the plan of God. It did not take away from them in the least. In fact, the revelation of the plan of God magnified the contribution that each of the angels was making, ministering servants to heirs of the kingdom. That was their job. But for Lucifer and those angels that he influenced, the revelation of God's plan to reproduce himself was not what they expected. It was not what they wanted. They wanted the preeminence. They wanted the glory. They wanted the power. They wanted the control. But they realized God was going to pour out his spirit into man so that man would be inducted into the very family of God, high above the status of the angels. The angels are very clear on the fact that God is higher than they are and that man was going to be in the realm, in the domain of God, as children of God, with God's Spirit, with God's life and God's mind and God's power. Angels, on the other hand, were not created for the purpose of becoming members of the very family of God. If they had been, if that was why they had been created, the good angels would have attained to, they would have achieved that calling, but they have not. It was not given unto the angels. Hebrews chapter 2. That's not why the angels were created. They weren't created to be very sons of God in the family of God. Understand this, brethren. Though man is temporarily, right now, lower than the angels, weak in power, and subject to mortality, man's ultimate state is to be so much higher than the angels, eternal sons of God, being begotten of God, with the Spirit of God. Hebrews 2 and verse 6. This comes from David in Psalm 8, but Paul is quoting it again in New Testament times, speaking of David. But one in a certain place testified, saying, "What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you visit him?" Verse 7. "For you have made him a little lower than the angels." Or a more correct translation would be, "a little while lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor." This is the incredible human potential of man. "You crowned him with glory and honor and did set him," this is man, not angels, "over the works of your hands." Verse 8. "You have put all things in subjection under his feet." And when it says all things, it excludes nothing. This is the angels. This is the entire universe. "You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he has put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him," includes the angels. "But now we see not yet all things put under man." Right now we don't have control of everything. We are not higher than the angels. We're not over the angels. Verse 9. "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels." That's when he was on the earth in the flesh. You remember when he had the confrontation with Satan. Satan had the power to give Jesus Christ the kingdoms of the world. And Jesus Christ didn't. Jesus Christ was tempted but did not sin, didn't fall for Satan's line. "Jesus was made a little lower than the angels," continuing in verse 9, "for the suffering of death." See, Jesus had to die so that we might live, to pay for our sins, that we might be clean. "Crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man, for me, for my sins, for you, for your sins." Brethren, for right now, the angels are greater in power, greater in might. It says that. Put this in your notes. We won't go there. 2 Peter 2 and verse 11. They're greater in power. They're greater in might than man is. Let's talk about Lucifer for a second, brethren, and picture this. Lucifer was one of the three covering archangels, cherubs, or cherubim, it says in the scriptures, at the throne of God. There were three. Lucifer, Gabriel, and Michael. The scriptures name them. We'll turn to that scripture in a moment. But Lucifer led a rebellion against the very throne of God. Isaiah chapter 14. You know, Satan appears as an angel of light, but in reality he is the power of darkness. There's counterfeit there. And understand this, brethren, because Satan has disqualified himself from the good things of God, right now he does everything within his power to obliterate every vestige of the plan of God to bring many sons to glory. Satan is doing everything still and will continue to try to destroy man's opportunity to be in the kingdom of God. Satan hates God. He hates man. He hates the plan of God. So we see that Satan and the fallen angels, who we call demons, they set out to annihilate the earth. This was before man even existed. You know, this exquisite, fruitful earth was reduced to dark, empty, ruin. And that's the meaning of the words tohu and bohu and koshek, as we see in Genesis. But we're in Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? Verse 13. Now, God is going to give us insight into the mind and attitude of Lucifer when he found out that God was going to create mankind who would become sons of God, literally in the family of God. Verse 13, for you said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars. You see right there, brethren, Satan has a throne. His throne, his habitation, his estate, as we saw, was to be over the preparation of the earth. He still has that job. He is still the God of this earth. But he says, I'll exalt my throne above the stars of God. He wanted to be over all the angelic realm. Not only that, he says, I will sit also. He wasn't satisfied to be over higher than all the angels, all the angelic realm. He says, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. And some translations even show that he says, I will be the Most High. Now this shows the foolishness of Satan. God Almighty cannot be toppled by Satan. But Satan thought he could. Once he sinned, he became perverted. He became deranged. His thinking was no longer rational. Yes, he had rational thought at one time, but Satan no longer has that. He thought, maybe he thought because of surprise, because he thought God wouldn't expect it, or maybe he thought evil is stronger than good. He thought that he could take God out of the picture and be the Most High. I've heard some speculation that Satan thought he would be up there with God the Father and Jesus Christ, and that's the origin of the Trinity. But the exact words are, I will be like the Most High. And yet God says in verse 15, Isaiah 14 and verse 15, yet you shall be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Turn over to Ezekiel chapter 28, brethren, where it is speaking of the archangel Lucifer. It's not speaking of a man. And Lucifer was a good name. He was a good angel until iniquity was found in him. Ezekiel 28 and verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, thus says the Lord God, you seal up. Now, what you can see very clearly here, this is not speaking of an earthly king. This is speaking of Lucifer. Thus says the Lord God, you seal up the sum. You know, this is you are the entirety, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. See, that can't describe a human being. And understand this, brethren, Lucifer was the epitome of God's creation. There was none more beautiful. There was none more wise. There was none more powerful than Lucifer, one of the covering cherubs. We see here that this is the same wise and bright and poetic and musical spirit being, the same one that tempted Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Verse 13. You have been in Eden, the Garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. And we don't fully understand what this means. His makeup, his covering, was all these beautiful stones. Satan had a wealth of wisdom, knowledge, understanding, creative ability, musical talents. Let's just read the words in English, brethren, that don't do justice to how beautiful and how fantastic a created being Lucifer was. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardis, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, and the sapphire, and the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of your, and this is the musical instruments, your tabouret and your pipes, was prepared in you the day that you were created. He had the ability. You know, some people have beautiful singing voices, and some people whistle pretty nice. Beyond that, I don't know that we have any built-in musical qualities. Satan apparently had the ability to be a symphonic orchestra, you know, just out of his own being. Verse 14, you are the anointed cherub that covers. There we have it. He was one of the ones that covered. And I have set you so. You were upon the holy mountain of God, up above the throne of God. You have walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. This is talking about things that are going on near the throne of God. You were perfect in your ways. He wasn't created evil or bad or in some way deranged or missing something. Perfect from the day that you were created, right up until iniquity was found in you. Satan brought it on himself. By the multitude of your merchandise, they have filled the midst of you with violence, and you have sinned. Brethren, sin is always breaking the laws of God, going against the will of God, the desires of God. Therefore, I will cast you as profane out of the mountain of God. No longer is he able to be one of the covering cherubs over the throne of God. I will destroy you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Verse 17, your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You see the pride and the vanity that was in Satan. You know, I will rise up. I will do this. I will do that. Be loyal to me. Me, me, me. That's the way Satan sounded. You have corrupted, continuing in verse 17, you've corrupted your wisdom by reason of your brightness. I will cast you to the ground. I will lay you before kings that they may behold you. Let's go over to Romans chapter 6. Satan sought the loyalty of Adam and Eve. He wanted Adam and Eve to be obedient to him rather than God. And he got it. He got it from Adam and Eve. Romans 6 and verse 16. This is something that we need to understand, brethren. As we watch leaders in the world and politicians, they violate this godly, biblical principle all the time. They think you can have it both ways. They think you can have honor and power and dignity and break all the rules. You can't have it both ways. It's put this way in Romans 6 and verse 16. Know you not, or we would say, don't you know that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. It is one or the other. And what did Adam and Eve do? They obeyed Satan. They became the children of Satan. They could have obeyed God and been the children of God, but they didn't. As a result, mankind became servants of Satan, children of Satan. Jesus Christ said, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks on his own, of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. You see, today, as human beings, because our parents obeyed Satan, followed Satan, gave their loyalty to Satan, we have become the children of Satan. Now, thankfully, I don't want to throw anybody off. We in the church of God have rejected Satan. We buried the man of sin ourselves. And we have put on God's way. Now, let's go back to Revelation 12. You may have your marker there. Brethren, our loyalty is only to God. If a man says, I want your loyalty. Be loyal to me. You know, and I know some men will say, well, follow me as I follow Christ. That's the way Paul said it. But people, men in the flesh, seek more than that. They want loyalty. Satan wanted loyalty. Revelation 12, this takes place in our immediate future today. The time is very near. Revelation 12 and verse 7. And there was war in heaven. How can we imagine? Okay, it speaks here of one of the other archangels, Michael, and his angels fought against the dragon, Satan. So here's a great heavenly war going on. Michael fighting against Satan, and the dragon fought in his angels. Revelation 12 and verse 8, and prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. So Satan is cast down from heaven. Verse 9, and the great dragon was cast down, that old serpent. We've seen a lot of different names for Satan, called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. This whole world is deceived by Satan. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now, Daniel 12 ties very closely with this, brethren. It touches on this very point. Daniel 12 and verse 1. At that time shall Michael stand up. This is the archangel Michael, one of the other covering cherubs. And understand this, brethren. When God told Moses to make the Ark of the Covenant and to put the cherubs on it with their wings reaching out and touching. If we have time, we'll go to that scripture. That was a pattern of things in the heaven. So don't just think of that as a box that the Israelites carried around in the desert. That was a pattern of the heavenly throne of God. So picture Michael and Gabriel being the other covering cherubs. So verse 1 again, Daniel 12 and verse 1. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which stands for the children of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. We can see, brethren, that this is in the immediate future that Daniel is talking about. A great war that destroys the earth and all the people on the earth. And the only ones that are delivered are the people of God. And some of those are delivered in death, and some of those are delivered in safety. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 tells a little bit about what we'll be able to see as human beings. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, brethren, how will it be that we will see that and recognize the truth of it, and the world will not see it? It's because Satan is the great deceiver. People will believe that this is the great God. We will have to discern that it is not. Will we be able to do that? Revelation 13. Satan is going to lend his power to this end time man of sin, this beast power. He'll be able to do what Satan does. Great works, great miracles, great wonders. Insomuch that the very elect would be deceived if it were possible. That tells us, brethren, that what we saw when worldwide was carried away of a flood was nothing compared to what is coming yet. The very elect would be deceived if it were possible. The scripture meaning that there will be some that are saved. Revelation 13 and verse 4. And they worship the dragon which gave power unto the beast. See, they think they're going to be worshiping God, but they're worshiping the dragon. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who's able to make war with him? He's all powerful. Verse 5. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue for 42 months, 3.5 years. Verse 6, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God. But who will recognize it, brethren? To blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. Verse 7, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints. We saw that a while ago. Satan is going to make war with the saints. That's what he's always wanted to do. He wants to destroy the plan of God in the saints of God. Power is given unto him to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. See how horrible a time this is that's coming, brethren? Verse 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, you know, with the exception of the elect, the true saints of God, those who will not be deceived, who have drawn close to God, who have laid their lives down, who have overcome Satan, as we saw back in Revelation 12, those three ways. Verse 8 again, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man has an ear, let him hear. Brethren, heed these words. Look how many were deceived at the time of worldwide. Look at how many fall for false teachings now. He's in the desert. He's in the mountains. Chase him. Brethren, that is not being built on the rock. The flood is going to come and carry them away. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We cannot afford to lazily drift along, you know, down the river with the sun shining in the day, lazy days of summer. Not only this present evil world, but the church of God is being caught up day by day in Satan's beautiful counterfeits. We have got to set our standard on the high ground, on the high rock, on Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3. Paul writing to the Corinthians says, if our gospel is hidden, it is hidden to them that are lost. We should be able to see it. But verse 4, those that are lost, in whom the God of this world, brethren, Satan is active. He is working. He is deceiving the people of this world, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. Brethren, do we believe what Jesus Christ says? Do we follow the principles of Jesus Christ? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. This world is not going to see the truth of God. They're not going to approve of the truth of God. They're not going to appreciate it. Colossians chapter 1. Brethren, we are not being carried away of the flood. You and I, in the church of God, we have been rescued, all things being equal. We are worshiping the true God, keeping His laws, laying our lives down, loving the brethren, all the things that Jesus Christ demands of us. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us, or we should say, giving thanks unto the Father, who has made us meet or conditioned us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness. Thank God we've been delivered from the power of darkness. We have a hedge of protection around us. We can see clearly, but only if we are God's people. He's translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Brethren, let's close today by going to Ephesians chapter 2. You and I have been called out of this world, not to remain in this world, not to be carried away of the flood like so many. Ephesians 2 and verse 1. And you has He quickened who were dead in trespass and sins. Thank God. God has given us life. His Spirit, His life in us. Ephesians 2 and verse 2. Wherein, in time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Brethren, you and I, Satan had his hooks in us. We walked according to the course of this world. We were sinners. The spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. That's where we were. That's who we were. But understand this, Satan is more active now than ever. Let's not forget, brethren, that naturally we tune into Satan's broadcast. We are naturally on his wavelength. We hear Satan. We're deceived by Satan. We're tempted by Satan. That's why Jesus Christ said, deliver us from the evil one. Ephesians 2 and verse 3. Notice this. Among whom, talking about the people of the world, also we had our conversation, our conduct in times past, in the lust of our flesh, in the fulfilling of the desires of the flesh and of the mind. We were by nature children of wrath. We were naturally children of wrath, just like everybody else, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. See, brethren, we are on the high ground. Stay on the rock. Verse 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Well, we're not exactly there in heavenly places yet, are we, brethren? But God calls things that are not yet as though they were, as though they existed already. Verse 7. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace you are saved through faith, through our belief in God, believing what he's saying. Of course, that follows with obedience. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Ephesians 2 and verse 9. Not of works, lest any man should boast. We can't boast, brethren. We did not call ourselves to God. We didn't deliver ourselves. We didn't pay for our sins. We didn't rescue ourselves. God is going to put all things in subjection under our feet. We saw that a while ago. All things. The angels, the earth, the universe. God is going to put all things in subjection under our feet. What an incredible promise. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them.